Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. I am Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn, but don't worry. Bart Scott is here hanging out. Be a part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us. We love it. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. So a lot to unpack here on this overreaction Monday on Barton Hahn. A lot of excitement yesterday in the NFL. Zach Wilson doesn't seem like he's going to get his starting job back, at least not yet, based on what Mike White did yesterday. Don't worry. We will get into that today. Two point conversions last night in the final seconds get the dubs. But let's start with what happened last night in Sunday Night Football when the Philadelphia Eagles become the first NFL team to reach 10 wins on the season. They've got that grip right now on that number one seed in the NFC like they've had all season long, in large part because they were dominating on the ground. They rushed for a total of 363 yards, three touchdowns. Jalen Hurts was off the charts yesterday, and Bart Hahn is not impressed.
I'm not. This team.
Bart
looks,
Scott. I just called you Bart Hahn. Bart Scott.
It's all good. We put it together. We're the same. You know what I'm saying? We share a brain anyway, so it's all good. But I tell you what, I wasn't impressed because, you know, I'm not looking at the Philadelphia Eagles as a team that's facing the Green Bay Packers. I'm looking at the Philadelphia Eagles as a team that's facing the field. And when I look at the field, I see deficiencies and things that you can't get away with in the playoffs. Playoffs, the game theme seems like they go super fast. Possessions, everything is so tense, and it goes up a level. And they told me that they went out there and they got Ndamukong Suh, who looked pretty good for a guy that looked like he's in shape, always kept himself in shape. He was able to still get penetration. You think about Linval Joseph, right? So you think, okay, Davis comes back, Linval Joseph's, Fletcher Cox, okay, we should have the steel curtain defense. No, it was relatively simple for them to run the football. And what I'm saying is, I don't think that's championship football. And with them losing the outstanding safety, well, you got like three names, right? Saint Brown, something, right? You know, something, right? Mm-hmm. You know, with them losing him, you know, now that becomes even worse, right? And I just don't see this team. You know, Jalen Hurts, I understand, listen, he had 100 yards in the first quarter. But I think they're vulnerable. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them get upset in the second round as they're probably going to win the division. But I think they're, you know, vulnerable to Dallas if Dallas is on their game. And, you know, I think they're going to learn a lot from how they decided to attack Michael Parsons with, you know, as the unblocked defender. I think they'll make adjustments to that. They'll go to their option defense and be able to figure out, okay, we're going to attack this hard and then switch it up with the linebacker, Michael Parsons, knowing that he's the guy that they're going to read off of. But it doesn't seem like to me it's a dominant team in the NFC. You know how in the AFC you feel like it's Kansas City and maybe everybody else? And the NFC, anybody's can be beat, and I don't think it's a great home field advantage. And for everything that Jalen Hurts is doing, and for everything that he's been this year and efficient with the football and consistent, not having a bad game, I just wonder if he goes against a quarterback that is an upper echelon quarterback, if he can rise to the occasion and beat the teams with his arm and not his legs.
So it sounds like to me, though, that really before we talk about what Jalen's been doing and what they were doing offensively, you feel like there's a deficiency here in terms of defensively for the Eagles. Does it make you feel any better, though? Because, yes, I understand the Packers are no juggernaut when it comes to the Packers offensively, except for we did see Aaron Jones run all over that Cowboys defense. So it's not like a run D has never been exposed against this Green Bay Packers team before. Bad night from Aaron Rodgers. He leaves the game with injury. We'll get into that. But does that make you at all feel better? a bit better about the situation than with the Eagles defensively, or you're just out because you think that there's too many holes there in that run D?
I just thought that – I thought it was levels, and I thought that they were a level above the competition, NFC. And I'm looking at the defense of the San Francisco 49ers and how they're able to put teams on their heels. And I'm just wondering if they can't stop the run and if somebody's able to turn them over and get ahead a couple of scores, do they have the patience to stick with the run game when teams can play outstanding defense? And I just don't know. I know, listen, when strength meets strength, you know, Lane Johnson's playing at another level. That Philadelphia offensive line is amazing. But it's some good defenses out there that can maybe neutralize that puts the ball squarely in the hands of Jalen Hurts. And I just don't know if he's able to put those type of performances. Throwing the ball, running the ball, yes. But I remember a year where Colin Kaepernick took the league by storm. And he was rushing. I think he rushed for 300 yards against Green Bay, right? Of course, right? Green Bay is on the wrong side of history in a lot of these type of moments. But I remember when the Baltimore Ravens played and what they did. And they said, okay, you want to use your running back, your quarterback as a running back? We're going to hit him every single time, regardless of if he has the ball or not, because when he goes with the RPO, you can say that he's a runner and not a quarterback. And they laid him out time after time. And if that's the game plan in the playoffs where you have better talent, which is going to force him to kind of put points on the board, and they continue to issue that type of defense, one, can he stand up? Because we've seen Justin Fields, who's kind of similar built. I know Jalen Hurts squats 600 pounds and all that stuff. But I've seen Cam Newton get knocked out. Mm-hmm. I've seen Josh Allen take big L's, right? And if you keep exposing your quarterback like that, and teams and linebackers say, you know what, I'm going to attack him, because you're so hesitant when you're dealing with a guy that's a quarterback. In your mind, you still hate him as a quarterback. And if he was a running back, you would de-cleat him. You would decapitate him. I think in the playoffs and later in the season, guys are just going to treat him as just a running back and say, you know what, if I get the 15-yard penalty, so be it. They're going to stop using this element of their offense. And if that happens, then what is the Philadelphia Eagles offensively?
Jalen Hurts last night in 17 carries put up 157 yards. He also did it with his arm as well. 16 of 28, 153 passing, 2 touchdowns. No interceptions. He broke Michael Vick's record with the Eagles, the franchise quarterback rushing record. Here was Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, on that.
We obviously got a game plan going in and see what we're going to do, and that's why you plan all week. That's why you go through it. Those plays that he makes off schedule, I mean, those are bonuses, right? And so you still have your plan that you want to get to and that you want to do. And so, you know, it just kind of happened that he had some big yards off schedule. And that's what Jalen does. That's where he's special, really special, is he can make those plays with his feet. You know, to be in a city like this with the quarterback history that this city has, you know, it's in that he set a record for most yards by a quarterback rushing. It's pretty special. I mean, that's some unbelievable names that he's following there.
So the plan was do it with your feet, 157 yards. Miles Sanders also put up 143 yards on 21 carries and a couple touchdowns. They ran all over this Packers team. The Philadelphia Eagles now sit at 10-1 on the season. And to your point, I understand what you're saying about it looking like there could be cracks in the foundation for this Eagles team. And certainly we saw that here the last couple of weeks. You made that reference to Kansas City and the AFC. I don't even feel like Kansas City is so far and away. Like, the weird thing to me about the NFL this season is I don't actually feel like there is a single juggernaut in either conference. Yes, I'd still put the Chiefs at the top of the AFC, but I don't feel like there's one team that I am just convinced is Super Bowl bound and no one's going to touch them.
No, that's a fair point. But if you had to say, okay, if I had one bet for the team to win the championship, I feel more comfortable going with Kansas City because of the multiple ways in which they can do it offensively, right? And they lost Tyreek Hill, but I feel like it opened everybody else up. Everybody's live, so you don't know outside of Travis Kelce who to take away, because Juju can go off. Valdez-Scantling can go off. They're doing the kid from Central Michigan. I don't know why.
Sky Moore.
You know, they got this kid from Rutgers, man, that's just running hard and crazy. He's took over Clyde Edwards-Helaire's injured. But what I'm saying is, like, I played during the time of the Wildcat, and I understand Jalen Hurts can throw better than Ronnie Brown. Understand that. But if you have, if you're a defensive coach with your – if you just have a little bit of good coaching, right? Like guys like Rex, Wade Phillips would kill this offense, right? Because what they would do is they'll double on the outside, but opposite the offset back, right? So if the back is offset to Jalen Hurts' left, what we would do is we would bring a two-man blitz off the right. So rather he – and we would crash and slant everybody to cancel all the gaps. Because the only run they have is opposite. And if it's like a counter, he still has to hand it to him, right? So we would just blitz that side, and we would light his ass up. I remember when they had Tim Tebow, they did that. And we almost decapitated Tebow. Like, we would blitz that side with two people and force him to make a quick decision. And I know that it's some quarterbacks out, some coordinators just salivating for the opportunity that when they put that offset back and they go into that – formation, that's the RPO formation, they're going to bring a blitz and they're going to force Philly to adjust. And let's see if they have an adjustment. I haven't seen a defense do it yet, but I'm telling you, it is on deck. That's like the all Wildcat type of defense. And the only difference is Jalen Hurts can throw better than Ronnie Brown and Tim Tebow. But you're going to get those body hits and saying, if you're going to expose your quarterback, we're going to see if he can take these world-class hits and we'll have a pot ready for the fine for the full body weight falling on top of his neck.
Coming up in 30 seconds here on Barton Hahn, Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn. Should Aaron Rodgers shut it down after his latest injury?
Story.
He exited the game last night. It wasn't that broken thumb, something else entirely. We're going to get into that. Give us your overreaction. It is an overreaction Monday here on Barton Hahn. Give us a call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What are you overreacting to? What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers? All of that in just seconds. But first, this word from LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Creating a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs is simple, easy, and it takes just minutes. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience. You can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and who you'd like to hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free. LinkedInJobs.com/Bart. That's LinkedInJobs.com/Bart to post your job for free. Terms and conditions may apply.
Slot to the far side with Watkins, inside of Smith, to the near side, Brown. Hurts takes it, looks, fires, complete, touchdown, A.J. Brown.
So not a good night for the Green Bay Packers last night, not a good night for Aaron Rodgers, Bart. He left that game last night with a rib injury. There's concerns about what that means. Is there a punctured lung? There's fear of that moving forward for an Aaron Rodgers that we know was already injured because apparently he's been playing with a broken thumb since October, we learned earlier this week. He was in pain after the game. It was obvious. Jordan Love comes in the game. Jordan Love looks good, throws a bomb right out of the gate. Is it about to be the Jordan Love era in Green Bay?
I think you give Jordan Love the rest of the season, especially if he's injured. If Aaron Rodgers is your present, future, or if he's your past, you don't want him to get injured, right? Like, you don't want him out there playing compromised. The season is lost. You're 4-8. I think you're officially done. So if I'm Green Bay, I want to know what I got in Jordan Love, because guess what? He's going to be going into year four, and we're going to be having to figure out if we're going to pick up his fifth-year option, right? You moved up. You gave up draft equity to move up. This is the perfect scenario. This is the perfect scenario, because before you had that, you know, you would have to go ask Aaron Rodgers, hey, we're going to sit down. We want to evaluate the season's loss. He may say no. Hell no. See, but now if you go to him and say, hey, man, you're injured, we care about you, we don't want this to flare up or to lead to something else, which means you got to get off-season surgery or you injure something else, we want to allow you to be healthy for next season, and we'll start with that plan, right? And then maybe you can pull that on him. But if he says, no, I'm playing, I think the organization and management has to say, no, Aaron, you know, you're too valuable to us. we're putting you down. You don't have an option. You don't have a choice. We let you play with the broken thumb. We're not going to allow you to play with bruised cartilage, whether it's punctured or not, if it's broken or not. It's cartilage, it's injured. It was bad enough for you to sit out. We know that these rib injuries takes weeks to come back. And this is about evaluating the rest of the team and seeing who's going to stay and be part of the core and what do we have to address in the offseason. We saw early on Justin Herbert struggle with the ribs and try and play through it, and it was some bad football. It's cold. You're out of it. It's time to evaluate Jordan Love, and this could be the best-case scenario because it's been my opinion that we need to, or the Green Bay Packers have to take a long, hard look and moving on from Aaron Rodgers and saying, Aaron, we're not a Super Bowl. We're not a player or two away from going to the Super Bowl. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to win a Super Bowl as we reload. Because as a executive, it's your job to make sure that your team is good now and in the future. And if you can cash in a Aaron Rodgers chip, it's much like Rudy Gobert. If Rudy Gobert went for what he went for, what the hell did Kevin Durant go for? So if Russell Wilson went for what he went for, they got a left tackle, a right tackle, an outstanding cornerback, otherworldly running back. They built the foundation of the future in Seattle based on Russell Wilson, and they still got another draft where they get a first-round draft pick to continue. So, and they got two players, Fant and an outstanding defensive tackle. What would you get for Aaron Rodgers? What would the Saints give up for Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think you'd actually get that much, which is crazy to say, because I'm talking about the reigning back-to-back MVP. Bart, he's 38 years old. Russell Wilson's 33 and looks like he's aging, right? Like, we've seen it this season, and we're like, oh, snap. Maybe he actually was hitting a decline over the last couple of years, and that wasn't a Seahawks problem. He's 33 right now. This is an Aaron Rodgers who's way up there in age, and also you're seeing his body break down this season, and then this organization can't trust him, Bart.
It's a joystick thumb. That's not breaking down.
Oh, come on. He broke that. Now we're talking about maybe a punctured lung. Potentially broken ribs. He's 38.
The same thing happened to Justin Herbert, and he's in his 20s, right? Those are things that happen to football. This isn't like, oh, his Achilles blew out or his knee, his ACL blew out. These aren't things that if you put him on an outstanding team, right, could you imagine him going there and playing? This is almost like Peyton Manning going to Denver.
He had a broken neck practically. Yeah, I mean, he was the worst quarterback ever to win a Super Bowl.
But those first two seasons, what was Peyton Manning? He set records, right? So Aaron Rodgers is where Peyton Manning was because it is no major injury. So if you're an organization for 2 years, much like Tom Brady going down to Tampa, this is about an organization that's saying, listen, our window is closing. And we need to cash in these chips. You're not going to have a great defense in New Orleans for too much longer. DeMario Davis is getting up in age. Cam Jordan is getting up in age. You have to try and cash in on that chip. So if you can mortgage the future to get another championship, like, who cares? Aaron Rodgers is that guy. He's that guy that you can get, and you can give up some assets.
He hasn't looked like that guy at all this season.
He's better than Peyton Manning was when he left, and he's better than Tom Brady when Tom Brady went down to Tampa.
I don't know if I agree with that. Tom Brady's built differently. He is an outliner.
He's the two-time MVP.
That was last year.
This is so 250 days ago. Come on. This dude didn't forget how to play football.
He looks like a different player this season.
He has different weapons. He has no weapons. So if you put him on a team, Tom Brady went to a team that was what? Loaded. Peyton Manning went to a team.
I'm not sure about those weapons, by the way, down there in New Orleans.
No. Okay. Whoa. Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara. They're going to get the kid from Northern Iowa, Penny, back to go with Ramchek. Come on now.
I've been hearing for a couple years now all these weapons in New Orleans, and they haven't panned out.
Well, we know Chris Olave.
We know
Chris Olave is going to be a future star. You know Jarvis Landry if he can stay healthy, but Michael Thomas is the wild card. But those are better weapons than what Aaron Rodgers is dealing with there. Just Alvin Kamara by itself, that dual threat of being able to catch the ball or run the ball, you put him there with that defense, he doesn't have to do much.
Here's the thing. I don't think the Packers, I think that this is good news for the Packers to be able to evaluate what they have in Jordan Love. I agree with you there, but in part because you can't trust Aaron Rodgers. I think you can't trust him in terms of him staying healthy. I know that none of these are like catastrophic injuries, but those little tiny ticky-tack injuries add up different when you're 38 years old than they do when you're Justin Herbert's age, who you reference having similar injuries. But then also, they can't trust him when it comes to just a mental perspective, because Aaron Rodgers feels like he might retire at any darn second. And yes, I understand he's being high. He's the highest per. He's the highest paid per, Bart, for a reason. He's not on a 10-year contract. The man might retire after this season.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If he still wants to play, we're going to say we're going to allow you to get a championship. A guy that is so narcissistic and arrogant like Aaron Rodgers is not going to leave with this being his defining story of his last year of his career. He wants to leave on top, so we're going to give you the opportunity. What do you do if Jordan Love balls out for 7 games? Okay, you can go sit on the bench for the rest of the year. Or are you just trying to build up his trade value to get him out of there and say, okay, who's the quarterback of the future when A.A. Ryan decides to go sit in a teepee and smoke mushroom sauce? Like, what are you going to do then?
He already sounds like he's doing that half the time with these press conferences. I got to be honest with you.
But that's what I'm saying. If Jordan Love balls out, what do you do?
What do you mean, what do you do? You're in a great position. You pick up his fifth-year option. You see what you got next year out of Jordan Love.
Okay, so then what do you do with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, okay, fine, but I just don't think you're going to get the king's ransom that you think you're going to get in return for Aaron Rodgers. And also, you've got to give him the respect to send him where he wants to go,
exactly,
if, in fact, he wants to go anywhere
else. Exactly, and you eat some of the money. You ask the team to eat some of the money because he's $91 million against the cap. Mm-hmm. But we just saw New Orleans last year with $70 million over the cap, and they was in a running for Deshaun Watson. Like, we like, hold up, this funny accountant, we thought you were $70 million over the cap. And now you're trying to get a $200 million quarterback. So we know that this funny accountant, you can figure it out. And that's just one team. That's not the only team.
I don't even know if they have a coach in New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans is more of a wild card than I feel like everyone has been saying for the last couple of years. Everyone's just waiting for New Orleans to figure it out and get it together.
It is so much to talk about.
There's a lot to get into. We are going to keep this up.
We're just getting started.
Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn today here on Bart and Scott. Coming up next, Mike Tannenbaum is going to join us. We're going to get his thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Plus, we will continue to get to your phone calls, so keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That was an overreaction.
Overreaction Monday.
That was uncalled for.
On Bart and Hahn.
We are going to get to your Overreaction Monday calls here on Bart and Hahn. Keep them coming. We see you. Hang on for me. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn alongside, of course, the Bart Scott. But let's bring in some help with this Overreaction Monday. Mike Tannenbaum, he's ESPN's NFL front office insider, joining us. And Tannenbaum, let me bring you in on a conversation that Bart and I were just having about the Green Bay Packers. You saw last night Aaron Rodgers goes down with another injury. Jordan Love comes in, bomb out of the gate, looks pretty good. Is it time for the Green Bay Packers? Is it a lost season? Should they just evaluate what they have in Jordan Love moving forward and shut down Aaron Rodgers?
Absolutely. Part of the responsibility of running a team is to know what you have in terms of succession. And going back a number of years ago when we traded for Brett Favre at the Jets, Green Bay ironically knew exactly what they had in Aaron Rodgers. And by the end of the year, that's one of the things that Green Bay needs to know is what do they have in Jordan Love. And that may not be the popular move, but that's certainly the right move for the franchise.
All right. So, TB, with that being said, if Jordan Love plays well, are you going to sit him back on the bench? Or if he plays well, are you having a conversation with Aaron Rodgers about going somewhere where he can win a championship in the next year or two and you're saying, hey, hopefully we can get a king's ransom from the recent two-time MVP, back-to-back MVP.
Yeah, you know, Bart, I think all options are on the table. If Jordan Love plays well, and let's face it, you know, there were some things he did last night that looked very good, then you have a much stronger hand to play with Aaron Rodgers in terms of if he's coming back, when is he coming back. And also, if you remember all those Packer teams, they traded guys like Mark Brunell and Matt Hasselbeck and Aaron Brooks and a few others just because they were able to develop quarterbacks behind Brett Favre. And if the worst thing is you get a premium pick for Jordan Love, that's a great result for the Packers.
Man, Mike, but what does that leave them long term? So he does that, you get rid of him, and then what's the succession plan to Aaron Rodgers?
Well, again, I think that's where you really have to put Aaron Rodgers' feet to the fire. Are you committing to us for 17 more games or 3 more years? And the better Jordan Love plays, those conversations are a lot easier where the Packers can deal from a position of strength.
Putting Aaron Rodgers' feet to the fire. Sounds like a difficult task. Hasn't worked thus far. Let's move on, Mike Tannenbaum, to some other things that happened yesterday in the NFL. The Browns ended up beating the Bucs. It took OT to do it, but 23-17, another disappointing result there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're sitting at 5-6 on the season. They're still atop that NFC South. They're aided, of course, by a brutal division. But what do you make of what's happening with the Bucs?
It really doesn't look good right now in a couple of key areas. One is, you know, Tom Brady, just protection needs to be perfect, and it's hard to be that way in the NFL. And now that Tristan Wirfs gets hurt, that's a concern. Rashid White, to me, has, you know, as much juice as anybody, because be it Scotty Miller, Julio Jones, Russell Gage, nobody else has really stepped up beyond Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And then defensively, they're having trouble closing games out, which is a surprise just given the fact that, you know, you have Todd Bowles in his background. I think they miss Shaq Barrett quite a bit.
Now, you know, I hate to bounce around, but, man, there's so many things that happen. We only got you for a short period of time. I mean, Russell Wilson. I mean, once again, number one scoring defense in the NFL, at least it was. And they can't get more than 10 points out of a guy you're paying $250 million to? Like, what is Nathaniel Hackett one and done? And if so, what does that mean about the future of this team that we thought was so bright with all the young talent that they had?
Yeah, and Bart, I think you nailed it, what you just said at the end. They have a lot of good young receivers, and the cupboard was not bare. So, you know, I think Nathaniel Hackett could be in trouble given the fact that there's new ownership, ones that weren't part of his hiring. And I think Russell Wilson has to be the biggest disappointment of the season. I mean, he's getting sacked, been sacked 35 times, second most in the NFL. His completion percentage is at the bottom. And when things aren't going well, and Bart, you know this, you got to find one thing that you can hang your hat on and say, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to build on that. And I think that's the biggest challenge right now from a Broncos standpoint, guys, is they're not doing anything well, so it's really hard to make progress.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us here on Bart and Hahn. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn. So Tannenbaum, yesterday on air, I was having a conversation with Harry Douglas about who is the third best team in the AFC. So I want to pose the question to you, because if there's an assumption there that the Chiefs are at the top and maybe the Bills are just underneath them, who would you have as a third best team? Would it be the Titans or the Bengals who beat the Titans yesterday, a Miami Dolphins team that blew out the Texans yesterday? Who would you have as the third?
You know, based on what happened yesterday, I got to go with Cincinnati. You know, I just tweeted this. You know, they went to that game yesterday without Joe Mixon, and obviously Tennessee had Derrick Henry, and they outrushed Tennessee by over 40 yards, and that's a really good sign from a Bengals standpoint. You know, Hayden Hurst has been a productive pickup for them at tight end, and then obviously they got three great receivers in Boyd, Chase, and Higgins, and Chase has been out. So right now, I think Cincinnati's trajectory is trending really well for them.
Last one for me. Arizona finds himself in a pickle, too. Not only did they pay the coach, they paid the quarterback. And the results aren't even close. Yesterday, you know, fall short, yes, to a talented, you know, Charger team. But what do you do with Kyler Murray? If you decide to make a change at the coaching position, he's played this system for the last, 7 years? And we don't know what he is outside of the system. Could this be arguably maybe even worse move than Denver, being that they didn't have to pay him?
Yeah, he's been really disappointing from this standpoint, especially, guys. he's ill-equipped as a leader. Like, it's never his fault. He placed the blame in other places yesterday, and that could be a situation where, yeah, they could be looking for a new head coach. And with his contract, he'll be there for the next year or two. But I would start with – and, Bart, we've been there where, you know, quarterbacks struggle, like a guy like Mark Sanchez, and it's always his fault when things go well. He gives other people credit. And Kyle Murray's not doing any of that. And because of it, you're really – like, to me, you have to – to try to develop him as much off the field in the off season where he can start taking some accountability, because it's really hard to follow somebody where the players just don't respect him. And every time there's a bump in the road, he finds somebody else to blame except for himself.
Maybe a new coach can come in and fix it, because it seems like the Arizona Cardinals might be looking that direction for next season, the way things have been going. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider. Thanks so much, Tannenbaum.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Coming up next here on Bart and Hahn, we take your Overreaction Monday calls, 888-SAY-ESPN. We will hear from you, but first, Bart has this word from Grainger.
For all the ones who get it done, Grainger's here for you. They're always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff, and curbside pickup at over 250 local branches. And get free access to their product specialists ready to help you track down those hard-to-find items. Plus, Grainger's commitment to being your safety partner can help keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. There, I'm sure.
Bart and Hahn.
It is an Overreaction Monday here on Bart and Hahn. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn. You can hit up Bart Scott on Twitter at BartScott57. You can hit me up at Amber W Sports. Let's get to some of your phone calls. Hear your overreactions on this Monday. 888-SAY-ESPN. News from Bart and Hahn Nation. Ray is hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Ray, thanks for joining us. What do you have for us?
I think Aaron Rodgers, I really do think he's washed up in Green Bay. I don't think he has weapons. I really think that that's going to the Saints is an awesome move. I really do give Love a chance. And maybe his last couple of years, Rodgers, maybe he can get a Super Bowl in the Saints. But nobody's really talking about Miami. Like, I mean, everybody's like Buffalo, Kansas City, this and that. But how about Miami? I mean, they're like the best show on turf. I mean, almost like the Rams were. I mean, nobody's giving Tua no props. They got the best receiver duo in the league, but nobody seems to give them any kind of props. I just don't get it.
No, I think we are, but we're still waiting to see. I think we'll see when they play Buffalo in Buffalo. Let's see if they can take that show on the road, because in the playoffs, everywhere they go in the AFC, they're going to have to take it on the road. So let's see if
they? They might not have to. They might have home field, because we might not be talking about the number one seed in the AFC East the way that the Dolphins have been playing. To Ray's point,
That's true. But then, you know, at the end of the day, they're not going to catch Kansas City. So they're going to have to go out and play in some bad environments and some bad conditions. And they don't have much experience with that. So that's what I want to see. I want to see do those receivers have all-purpose tires.
You sound like Keyshawn Johnson. I was having this argument with Keyshawn last week. He's like, I can't believe in Miami until I see them do it in the cold.
I'm telling you.
It's like a weather thing with you guys. You can't buy into this team because they're playing in Miami? What are we doing?
Because conditions are perfect. We've seen like Tampa back in the day. Every time they went up to Philadelphia in the weather, they got spanked. Until they finally got a team tough enough and used to the elements. So it's a lot, because you got to learn how to throw the ball when the wind gusts is 20 miles an hour, right? And you may have to get a couple of those, and we'll see.
I mean, the Bills might need to learn how to formulate their offense as well for 20-mile-per-hour winds and 10 below, because I don't even know if that team that lives in Buffalo, New York, is built, frankly, for Buffalo weather the way that they run their schemes.
Well, we know one thing. Mike White can throw in the elements. We know that. Mike White.
Oh, goodness. One game, and Mike White is already the next coming. We're going to get to that in a second.
Hey, he got three starts. He got 400 yards of offense in both of them.
I know. We're going to get to that in just a moment. By the way, this Dolphins girl will tell you, though, weather-wise, also an advantage for Miami. As somebody who lived there for many, many, many years, those teams coming up from up north and going down there in January when it's still 90 degrees in Miami.
Not anymore.
We'll see.
You catch them early in the season. Like, I went there late, and so that humidity hits different in January and February than it does in August and
September.
That's
true. August is a whole different ball game down here in Florida. All right, John is in New Jersey. What do you have for us, John?
Actually, I'm in Inglewood, California with the I.
Yeah.
It's quite a different place than New Jersey.
First time caller. Just wanted to jump in. Wanted to let Amber know I agree with her on the Aaron Rodgers side of this.
There you go.
I don't believe, and even Bart said it, he's a narcissist. I believe he's through in Green Bay. We don't know if he has talent in wide receiver because he didn't work out with any of them during off season. And so, as you can see, every time he loses, it's somebody else's fault. And so I just don't believe this is an injury thing. I believe he's just riding it out because he got the money. And if they wanted to ship him off, I don't think he would care at all.
If I wanted to play devil's advocate, thanks for the call. If I wanted to play devil's advocate here for a second, though, Bart, I would say, well, it is week 12. Like, how much longer are we going to talk about Aaron Rodgers not being there for OTAs?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's over with.
Right? Like that conversation's got to be done. He's at the time at this point to build the chemistry.
And they were playing well. Let's not act like they didn't put up 14 points in the first quarter. Let's act like they weren't moving the football. You know, that interception by Blake Blankenship, he was right there again to put more points on the board. So Christian Watson is going to be a young star. Next year they'll have that chemistry, and they can make some moves in the offseason. I just don't know if Aaron Rodgers wants to risk it, right? Instead of going somewhere where the deck is already loaded, like when Tom Brady left, like when Peyton Manning left and ended up with Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas.
I have been the one person on our airwaves screaming from the rooftops that I thought the Jets had made the wrong move by benching Zach Wilson. That take doesn't look so good today. I will admit I am not willing to move off of that take, though. I do want to get into that because, again, Bears defense, that's why. But I understand Mike White balled out. You guys want to talk about it. News from Barton Hunt Nation. Craig is hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Craig from Iowa, what do you have for us on Mike White?
Yeah, hey, Amber and Bart, thanks for having me on. All I'm going to say is the last time an AFC East team invested a lot into an early-round quarterback and then a late-round guy came in and took the job, he had a pretty storied career, I'd say.
We're always going to use the Tom Brady example. We don't think that the greatest to ever do it might have been an outlier there in the fifth round. Now,
Mike White,
they're both fifth-rounders, right, Bart?
Absolutely. Listen, Mike White, listen, you can say what you want about Mike White and going against the Bears, but last year, before he got hurt against Indianapolis, he was doing his thing again. And last year against Cincinnati.
Not listen, all those starts were pretty.
But this is the thing. Well, the start against Cincinnati when he threw for 400 yards, you got to think, he's in the same system with better weapons. So if he was good last year with limited weapons, what can he do with Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore and Corey Davis? Woo! Mike White!
It was the Bears' defense. The Bears aren't even trying to win games right now. They have constructed their team to be so terrible defensively that I could have scored against this Bears' defense. But last year,
Amber, it was Cincinnati. And he did against Cincinnati, and we know what they were last year. And they were coming off beating the brakes off the Ravens.
You're picking and choosing there, though, because it's not like everything we've seen from Mike White.
This team is talented.
Great.
Mike White, they don't need much.
Yesterday, he did look great. Three touchdown passes, something admittedly Zach Wilson has never done in his NFL career. But I feel like if there was a team to start Zach Wilson against to try to get the number two overall pick's confidence back up, it probably would have been that Bears defense. Instead, that confidence right now probably shattered.
Let's run through the break.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.